with me all the time? What if I had to take them up and down the 17 steps that are in my home? What if when I got in bed at night, they rested on top of me? What if when I got in the shower, I had to figure out how to balance them while the water fell? What if I had to carry them with me when I went to the grocery store, when I pumped water in my, and pumped gas into my car? What would happen if they were always with me, attached to me? And what if there were even more? What would my life be like? Then imagine, one day, after I walked around and just decided to pick up a few more, maybe some that are even a little heavier. What if I just thought that my whole life was going to be spent collecting rocks and carrying them around? And then one day, out of nowhere, maybe out of heaven, I heard a voice say, "Zena, you don't have to carry those. You don't have to bear that weight or this burden." And what if I said, but they're mine, and I do have to carry them? And the voice said, "No, my child, you only have to let go." Beloved, I think that's what was going on at the church at Ephesus. You see, they had decided that they were going to pick up and carry rocks that they might even throw at one another. You see, the church at Ephesus is at a port. Andre, Jane, and I have walked those streets. It's Kuliassi now. It's modern-day Turkey. But ancient Ephesus was this amazing crossroads. It's the home of the temple cult of Artemis. There are pagan religions everywhere. And because it was a crossroads, those who gathered on the Lord's Day, those who sought to follow Christ, had come from the widest range of backgrounds you could imagine, and they didn't know how to get along. They had no common fund of knowledge. They had no common fund of understanding. They gathered to follow this Christ, but their backgrounds were so different that they kept in their hand malice, that they kept in their hand slander, that they kept in their hand wrangling. And the Greek underneath that word wrangling is drama. They kept in their arms all of this bitterness and all of this malice and all of this anger because they didn't know how to get along. They didn't know how to be in worship together. And Paul writes them and says, "Let go." And I know you don't see the word "let go" in the text, but it's there. You see, in the biblical writ, the word "forgive" means let go. Aphiomi. Let go. Leave behind. Release. Do not be burdened by. That's what let go means. And the men and women of Ephesus had carried all of this weight around, and it stopped them from worshiping, and it stopped them from gathering together, and it stopped them from loving one another, and it stopped them from knowing Christ. And Paul writes to them and says, "Let go. For when your arms are filled with this kind of weight, you cannot be tenderhearted." You're using your energy to carry the weight. When your arms are filled with this kind of weight, you can't be kind. You're too worried about making it the next step. When your arms are filled, when your heart is filled, when your mind is filled with this kind of weight, you're trapped. And there's a story, a real life story. I used it 11 years ago in a sermon, so some of you will know it, but it's a story that bears repeating to me now on this Valentine's Day. It's the story of Mary Johnson, and if you have a bulletin, her picture is on the back of that bulletin. This was a woman who raised a 16-year-old son, and she tells the story that he was no angel, Iranian his name.
And one night when he went out, he did not come back. On one side of the trigger of a gun was Loramian, and on the other side was another 16-year-old named O'Shea Israel. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time, and anger flared up, and one fired and one died. Mary Johnson could not forgive O'Shea Israel. He had taken her son. He had wiped him off the face of the earth. He would never know his 21st birthday. Never know what it was to be a father. Never know what it was to grow up and be a man. And she would not let go. Wouldn't let go of her anger from Ephesus. Wouldn't let go of her malice. I heard Paul write about it. Would not let go of her bitterness. It was right there. Wouldn't let go of the drama. All the things Paul told Ephesus to let go. Mary was clinging. Clinging to, and it was killing her. If I picked up every one of these rocks again and tried to carry them around, it might kill me. In spirit, if not in body, it was killing Mary Johnson. And because she was a praying woman, she began to ask God for relief. And finally, one day, she got in her car and rolled to Stillwater Prison. And when she laid her eyes on this boy, who would be the same age as her son, something shifted, not immediately, but something began to move. And if you Google Mary Johnson and O'Shea Israel, you'll see the end of the story. When that young man got out of prison, she brought him to live next door to her. She said, "You took my son's life, and somebody's got to raise you." She let go. And it made room in her heart to love. It made room in her heart for light. It made room in her heart for grace and mercy and forgiveness. And please do not misunderstand me. The biblical word forgive, the biblical word aphemi, does not mean some sweet, sappy, sacred, "Oh, that didn't happen, I'm going to ignore it." It does not mean I'm going to forget it. It means none of those things. It means I'm going to take the experience and learn from it, and then I'm going to let Mary will never forget her child. She'll never forget the pain she felt that night when a police car rolled up to her home. But she's transformed it. Oh, beloved. I look out at our nation. I watched what happened yesterday in the Capitol. I watch what happens when you watch one television station versus another. And what I see is men and women, some who profess Christ, picking up rocks and holding them and refusing to let go. Deciding that the weight and that the anger and that the weapon that this anger might be is worth more than the freedom. To this church says you can't do it. You cannot marshal your forces and go forward if you will not forgive. You can't do it. You can't rise up to be who I've called you to be if you're going to pick up every rock and cling to it. You can't do it. But I'm human, Paul. I'm human. When I think about things done to me and you call me to let go, even though that might be my desire, I'm human. When I watch what's going on in our nation's capital and I'm infuriated, I want to forgive, but I am human. Sometimes it seems easier to collect my rocks. But beloved, I am so grateful that this lesson of forgiving is not mine to learn alone. It's not even mine to learn without instruction. Because when I read the 23rd chapter of Luke, when I read that moment when Christ is up on an old rugged cross, after they spit on him, after they lie on him, after they nail him to a cross and lifted him high, the first thing he says is, "Father, forgive them. Father, I've made. Let it go. Drop it. Do not write it up as if it were their transgression. Drop it as if it did not exist. Father, forgive them. You see, beloved, I am human. And I can't do this on my own. But I have a Savior who has said from a cross 2,000 years ago, Father, forgive her. Because I believe when Jesus spoke those words, it was not just to those who were at the foot of that particular cross. I believe it was to all creation. Anyone who would lift their eyes or their arms or their spirit and say, I'm human, I don't know how to forgive, I don't know how to let go. Father, forgive her. And so, when I want to pick up my rocks, when I want to hold them tight, I hear that echo from the cross. Sina, you are forgiven. This weight is not yours to hold. Whether it's what someone did to you or what you did yourself, let it go. Because when you free your hands and your arms, when you free your being from this kind of weight, the capacity to serve me more, the capacity to draw closer to my love is made real. Love, I don't want anyone to forgive without being ready. I appreciate Mary Johnson's story because it took her a while. It took her prayer. Did you hear what the Gospel of Mark said? When you stand praying, we have to pray and meditate and exchange wisdom with one another to move our souls and our arms to be ready to let go. But I will tell you that that is God's desire for you and for me, for the people at Ephesus, that they would let, that we would let go. I wonder first what you and I need to forgive ourselves of. What is that thing that rises up in your thinking and causes shame and guilt to come as if you were picking up so many rocks? God is forgiving you. Let go. What is that thing that a parent or a friend or an employer did to you and it was not right, it was wrong? It's only binding you. It's only hurting you. Let it go. And when we look around in our world and we want a different world and we find it hard to let it go. For God says, I've got something better than malice and bitterness. I've got something better than drama and slander. I've got something better to fill you with. And it is my light and my love. It is my spirit. On this Valentine's Day, whether you get an earthly one or not, hear this. There's a heavenly one. It is a God who looks down and sees you exactly as you are and says, you are my child. You are my beloved. You are the apple of my eye. I love you. I forgive you. I welcome you. Let everything that would bind you go. And when we do, we are freed to love and serve even our enemies. We are free indeed. Every eye closed. God, I just believe this message is for somebody because you tried, the enemy tried so hard this morning to stop it. But you are sovereign over all things. And so we come, your children, human, prone to pick up and carry rocks. But speak to us, God, in the individuality and the particularity of who we are. Speak to us out of our individual circumstances, that we might know whether it is ourselves, someone else, or some system
that we need to forgive and let go, that we might be equipped. Speak to us, God, in our individual beings, that we might know the sound of your voice, that we might know the presence of your Spirit, that we might be indwelled by your light and your love. Come, gracious God, on this Valentine's Day, on this day we celebrate lots of love, and shine on us and in us and through us as we live according to your word. First forgiven and then forgiving. Our God, this we pray in your Son's name, in Jesus' name. Amen.